One of the things that I have found to be very true is that you can spot a Christian at a moment's notice if you really know what you're looking for. A lot of people are looking good on the outside and they claim to be Christians, they're good people. But you can tell a person that is a Christian by the way they talk and the way they live their lives. And the reason that is because God's Spirit lives inside them. And if God's Spirit lives inside a person, everything that comes out of that person is going to flow from God's divine throne. And you'll notice, the world will notice, there's something different about Christians. When we start to talk about the Holy Spirit, someone asked me in one of our papers how the Holy Spirit changes us. That's a great question. I don't know how many of you have ever really thought about it. I don't know how many of you have ever sat down and really thought that if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, God's Spirit lives inside you right now, and God has given you spiritual gifts. We all have them if we're a Christian. You can't say, I don't have a gift. Yes, you do. You just simply might not know it. All right, and I want to stress, as I do many times, that the only gift of the Spirit is not speaking in tongues. We'll get into that here in a little bit. This is a great, great thing about God's Holy Spirit. From one of my favorite books in the Bible, and that's Ephesians. When we start to talk about the Holy Spirit and God's Spirit, the first time God's Spirit is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth. Remember when God said, let us create God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It was a pluralistic sense in the old Hebrew language in which God's holy name implied a pluralism of some sort. Not that there were more gods, that in some way God was, I want to say pluralistic, but I need to be careful with that. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And as God created the heavens and the earth, it tells us in Genesis, the Spirit of God hovered over the chaos and over the waters. The last time God's Spirit is mentioned in the Bible is in Revelation chapter 22, where it tells us that the Spirit, God's Spirit, the Spirit and the Bride, which is the church, we're the Bride of Christ, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. In other words, at the end of all things and all the writings, God's Holy Spirit through the church is beckoning people, come, come. Come. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, engages human beings for the first time in the book of Exodus. It's interesting in the way this happened. Remember, the Israelites were out in the desert wandering around. God had received the Ten Commandments, or Moses had received the Ten Commandments from God. And then all of a sudden, God gives Moses instructions to build the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Okay? So, all of a sudden we find God giving certain men the gift of craftsmanship, the ability to work metal and wood, and the ability to teach others how to do it so that they could build the tent, the tabernacle. Think about this, God's Holy Spirit giving people the gift of craftsmanship. That's pretty cool. All right? The coming of the Holy Spirit was promised by the prophets. You know, in those days, the prophet tells us, in those days I'll pour out my Spirit on all people, on men and women. You know, they'll dream dreams, they'll see visions, and so on and so forth. The Holy Spirit gifts human beings in the New Testament, especially in Acts. When the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost and gave those men there, those common men, the ability to speak in other languages so that everybody around from all parts of the world could hear the wonders of God. In Romans, Paul writes to the believers talking about the gifts of giving, the gifts of exhortation, that's lifting others up. Different kinds of gifts than we're used to hearing about, like in 1 Corinthians, where people, believers are given the gifts of speaking in tongues. One of the things Paul tells the Corinthians, to each one, This is believers. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. In other words, we use our spiritual gifts for the common good of all believers and all people. To one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. So God gives each one of the believers a gift through Christ. But how does the Spirit change us in relation to all this? First of all, I need to elaborate on the meaning of the word Spirit and who the Holy Spirit is. In the Old Testament, the word for Spirit is ruach. It's from the Hebrew language. Ruach means breath or wind. And it implies the very breath of God. We read about this in the book of Ezekiel. Remember the Valley of Dry Bones? Ezekiel saw the Valley of Dry Bones. And God said, prophesy, speak to the bones. And even though the bones were raised up and flesh was put on them, they still had no life in them until the ruach, the wind, the breath of God was breathed into them, and then they became alive and animated. Same thing that happened to Adam. God created Adam and Eve. God took from the dust and created the man, but the man didn't have life until it tells us that God breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of the man, and he had life. In the New Testament, the word for Spirit is pneuma. It's where we get the word pneumatics from. A lot of you use air tools with your air compressors. That's where they're operated by air. It's pneuma. It means the same thing, the breath or the wind. But it all applies the same in the Bible, that it's the breath of God and the breath of life that brings life and power and ability to all those that are God's people. And there's a process by which God's Spirit changes us. We're not this way from birth. All right? We are born in the natural state without God's Spirit living in us. The process by which this happens involves God's grace. First of all, there's prevenient grace. Prevenient grace is God bringing faith to an unbeliever. Maybe it's through reading the Word. You're reading it along, and all of a sudden you say, yes, now I understand, now I believe. Maybe something happens in the life of an unbeliever, and God's Holy Spirit is speaking to them, calling out to them, and giving them the ability to say, yes, I believe. It comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of God. And when they receive Christ into their life through the work of the Holy Spirit, they receive what's called justifying grace. Accepting Christ as my personal Savior, the Bible tells us the old is gone. I'm a new creation. The old me dies, but I need life breathed into me. So what happens is I receive Christ. As Jesus told Nicodemus, we're born by water and the Spirit. The Spirit breathes life into us and fills us up and reanimates us, revitalizes us. And when this happens, we're given spiritual gifts. We're given the gift of discernment because many things are spiritually discerned. All of a sudden, because of the enablement by the Holy Spirit living in us, we're able to see things in a spiritual light, the way God sees them. It changes the way we view the world. It changes the way we act because we see our old ways were not right. And it sees what God wants us to do and helps us to understand when the Holy Spirit fills us. Until that point, we cannot please God. God might be happy with us and our works, but until His Holy Spirit fills us, then we do those works which are holy and pleasing to God. Lastly, we receive what's called sanctifying grace as the Holy Spirit lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Paul tells the Galatians in chapter 5, Now I'll going to do is find it. I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what's contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what's contrary to the sinful nature. You see, by rule, we are born naturally sinful. We are born inclined to sin. I think after the flood, it tells us in Genesis that God saw that the hearts of men were only evil all the time. We were inclined to make the wrong decisions and to do that which was against the will of God until God breathes His Holy Spirit in us. Paul goes on to say to the Galatians that these are in conflict with each other. And he lists the acts of the sinful nature, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. That does not describe a Christian, is what Paul's saying. That's the desires of the sinful nature. But here he said, let me describe the Christian to you. Because the fruit of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit coming out of a Christian, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Notice it doesn't say perfection. Notice it doesn't say perfection. Those of you that are trying to be perfect, cut it out. You're wasting your time. We're not going to be perfect here. We're going to be perfect there. John Wesley said we're going on to perfection. But as we go, the Holy Spirit in us gives us the ability, gives us hearts of mercy and compassion, gives us the ability to reach out to someone that we never would have reached out to teach in a way that we never could before, to do things that are supernatural, that aren't natural to the way we were brought up. This isn't the way I was brought up. Close your ears, kids. I was not brought up to stand behind a pulpit and teach God's Word. Only by God's grace, His sanctifying grace, is He molding me and using me. And I don't expect to be perfect in this life, so I don't waste my time trying. That's a ploy of the devil, and I'll get to that here in a little bit. Because of God's grace working in us before Jesus, working in us through Jesus, and working in us after Jesus to mold us into the likeness of Christ. And the purpose of all this is for the glory of God. And Paul talked about this in Ephesians, how this all works. How does this all work in a human being? Ephesians, to me, is the greatest book in the Bible. Because Paul explains this to the Ephesian believers. He says, you were also included in Christ. When? What did you do? Well, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Okay, I heard it. But then, having believed, you were marked in Christ with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. In other words, in Christ, when you hear God's word, God's voice, and you receive it and accept it as truth, accepting Jesus as your Savior, God comes along and puts a stamp on you and says, you're mine. You have my name on you. And I'm guaranteeing that you're coming to be with me when the time comes. He puts a stamp of approval, puts a seal on us, coming to Christ, having heard and believed. He goes on to remind these believers in Ephesus of their previous condition and their present condition. This is awesome. This is the part I like most of all. As a preacher, this is encouragement for me. He says to them, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. In those transgressions and sins, you lived in a certain way and followed the ways of this world. And you followed the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. In case you don't know who that is, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that's Satan. In other words, he's saying in your previous condition, you listened to Satan. You follow the ways of the world. And he says, well, all of us lived like that. We lived among them and we were gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. We were following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature. In other words, we were naturally, from the mother's womb, objects of wrath. But, here's the difference. But, because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. How did he do that? He breathed the ruach. He breathed the pneuma, his breath of life in us when we came to Christ. He made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. We were dead. Our previous state was dead. We were like dead people, like the valley of bones, with no life, no power, and no pleasure for God. But in Christ, when we believed and God stamped His Holy Spirit on us, we were made alive by God's grace in saving us. And not only that, for those of you who are saying, well, I hope I'm good enough. Do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I hope so. Where are you going to go when you die? Well, I really don't know. I think I'm going to heaven. For Christians, we can't waste our time worrying about that, because it's a done deal. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we have a position in heaven. We shouldn't have to worry about being perfect. We have God's stamp of approval on us. We have a prepared place for us. We're raised and seated in heaven in the eyes of Almighty God. And we're filled with His Holy Spirit to give us new life and to give us new power and new strength to continue on in our journey in life to perfection when we reach that point. And he says, this whole thing isn't of ourselves. We don't do this. God does, through His Holy Spirit, who speaks to us before Christ, who comes to fill us when we accept Christ, and who continues to mold us as we go on in that journey. Does the Holy Spirit make a difference in our lives? You bet He does. And I want to emphasize that the Holy Spirit is a person. Jesus said to His disciples, you should be glad I'm going away, because I'm going to go and ask the Father to send another counselor, advocate, the promised Holy Spirit. And when you read about the Holy Spirit in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is personified by He. Not meaning that it's a man, but that He's a person. Because the word Spirit is gender neutral. You see, gender neutral. So Jesus Himself wanted to make sure that we knew, that they knew, that His disciples know, that the Holy Spirit isn't an it. And it's not a power source that you plug into. It's a person that we cry out to, who comes to live inside us and mold us and make us, to give us power beyond what we're able to do in our natural state, to be little Christs in the world today. When we accept Jesus, we hear the Spirit speaking to us, and we check it out. And we drink deeply of the goodness of God. And you know something? It tastes pretty good. I'm up here sweating, and now this is going to take care of it. I'm revitalized. Anybody willing to stay another half an hour? All of a sudden I feel the electrolytes flowing through me. You understand what I'm saying? And it is almost funny. It's just so amazing what we can do if we just say, I'm going to allow God's Holy Spirit to speak to me, to use me, to fill me. And don't get all wrapped up in the gifts, that you don't have the gift that somebody else has. I can't bake a pie. So how am I going to take a pie to somebody in need? You see what I'm saying? Some of you are good prayers, and you pray constantly. You pray for me every day. And I'm thankful for that. Some of you are just motivated to be leaders and set up activities in the church. Some of you can play music. I'm so thankful for the music. It inspires me on Sunday morning to preach. Some of you are active in the church on the committees and so forth. Some of you are just coming here Sunday morning and God brings you here because He connects you with somebody else that needs to hear a word of encouragement from you. You see, don't get all hung up in having certain spiritual gifts. Just relax and allow God to use you. Be yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to be your power. The King James Version says that God made us alive. He quickened us. That word quicken in the Greek language comes from two words. And those two words imply in union with and vitalize. So He made us alive. He quickened us because we became in union with God and with Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit to vitalize us and bring us new life. Make us who He wants us to be, to reanimate us conjointly with Jesus. And the work of the Spirit in us is God's grace for the glory of God through the imitation of Christ, molding us, recreating us to be like Him in order that the world might believe in Him. The world might believe in Him. Paul said in closing to the Ephesians, I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding and they're separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of their hearts. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. Softens our hearts, removes the pride, cleanses us daily, sometimes moment by moment, closes our mouth when we need to keep our mouth shut, opens our mouth when we need to. I've been in some very heated debates with some people, including leaders of the church, that were trying to convince me of something that God's Word did not tell me. And oh my gosh, did the Holy Spirit start to flow out of me of things that I couldn't remember, that I didn't know. Things just started coming out and I walked away and said, where did that come from? But I knew. Paul said to them, having lost all sensitivity, they had given themselves over to sensuality. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that's in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its evil desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I just praise God for the power of the Holy Spirit in my life personally and in this church. What an awesome place we have here of God's grace. Are we all the same? Fortunately not. Do we all have the same gifts? Praise God that we don't. Do we all have the same faith? Yes. And it shows on Sunday morning when we come here, when we listen, when we sing, when we cry out to God from our hearts in prayer, and even when we pass the collection plates, the Holy Spirit empowers us and fills us and refreshes us and encourages us so that when we walk out that door, we are ready to face the world as God's ambassadors, like little Christs, willing to take on the world and offer that world hope. We ask that God would change our hearts, and He does through His powerful Holy Spirit. I pray this week that you might feel His Spirit present in you. You might hear His Holy Spirit speaking to you. You might act on that because it's the most awesome experience you will ever have in your life. And I guarantee you, it'll really taste good. Let's pray. Dear God, we are thankful.